I just finished a month of going to annual conference in Corpus Christi when all the Methodists have their big powwow, right? We have our big gathering, and it's a lot of fun, and we meet with one another, and it's a lot more about fellowship and learning about God's word than anything else. And we get to eat some good seafood, right? And so on the way over there to Corpus, I always give a call to a man by the name of Tim Jarrett. Tim looks forward to my call, and the reason I call him is that Tim was the lay leader of the First United Methodist Church of Alice, Texas, when I served there. Tim is about 6'4" and a half, almost 5, close to 300 pounds. He owns a furniture store in Alice, Texas, and he loves serving people and serving the church, and Tim loves to fish, right? So Tim invited me one day. He says, "Peter, you want to go fish for red drum and redfish?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I lease a cabin from the state of Texas on Baffin Bay, and I've got a cabin there on Baffin Bay, and we'll go over there, right? And we'll fish." And I said, "Let's go." We set up a day and a time. He came by the parsonage, picked me up, and off we went, right? Off we went to go fishing. We went out there to the boat launch. I backed up the truck, and he started the engine up, and he backed off the trailer and came around. I got on the boat, and he trolled out right about to where we're going to reach open water. And at that point, he pushed throttle. And the engine blew. Black smoke. It coughed, sputtered, and died. We're about quarter mile from the boat launch, so we had to rely on the kindness of another angler to tow us back to shore. Tim called a mechanic in Corpus Christi, who came, picked up the boat, and after all that was done, Tim looks at me and says, "What do we do?" And I said, "I don't know about you, but I got a 2-day pass and steaks in the ice chest, right? We're gonna stay here, you know. I want to stay here. What do you think?" "Well, where do we go?" And I said, "Listen, you know about fishing in Baffin Bay. I know about fishing off the coast, off the shore." So I said, "Let's just go to Walmart." The weather was beautiful. It was just really good weather. And it wasn't too windy, right? It was lovely. So we went to Walmart and got a tent and one of those cheap portable grills, lawn chairs, sunscreen, more ice, and provisions. And we went to Padre Island. Set up the tent, right? Set up the chairs, set up the portable grill. And we sat there and just lathered up with all that sunblock and just relaxed there on the beach. Now, I'm not a little guy, and Tim is a lot bigger than me. And so we're sitting there, and a car drives by and honks the horn and waves. We head back. Second car, another car goes by and waves. And I tell Tim, "You know, it's a friendly crowd this morning, right?" Third vehicle honks the horn and shouts out, "Hey!" and waves. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, nice day, People are friendly. And then Tim looks at me and he tells me, Peter, you sparkle. Now, I ignored it because I never had a man tell me that I sparkle, much less a woman tell me that I sparkle, right? My mother came close to it, right? But Tim said, you sparkle. So I didn't say anything. You know, maybe I heard something. I don't know. You know, then he said to me, Peter, you sparkle. And I said, okay, Tim, you sparkle too, right? You know, you know, I didn't know what to say, you know. And then he noticed my being, that I was uncomfortable, right? And then he says, no, look at yourself, Pete. You sparkle. So I looked at myself, and what happened was that I bought some sunscreen with sparkles in it. Right. I bought the cheapest sunscreen there. It was for children. You know, I said, sunscreen, you know, if it's for good enough for kids, good enough for adults. And there I put on this, we put on the sunscreen and we were sparkling in the sun right there on the beach, right? Oh, it was too funny. You're probably wondering where I'm going to go with this, but let me explain, okay? This morning's scripture passage is wonderful spiritual nourishment, all right? It's wonderful spiritual nourishment. This particular passage is a hymn, okay? It's a hymn. And the other important thing to know is that the church in Philippi is a very strong, strong church. In fact, Philippi is a very influential town of the Roman Empire. And so what that means is that there are a lot of people from differing parts of the world that live in Philippi that are disciples of Jesus Christ. They are Christians, right? And because they come from a multitude of cultures, educations, and backgrounds, what that means is that they had a lot of different opinions as to how the world works. Amen? Right? The people there in Philippi were having difficulty communicating and getting along with one another. And what Paul was trying to emphasize was this, that how you are as a community of faith is a witness to the world. How we are as a church is a witness to people who are unchurched. Let me go ahead and take this a little bit further. Sometimes we go through difficulty and hardship, and how we are in those difficulties and during those hardships is our witness of the Holy Spirit of God living in us. Amen? That is our witness to the world of how we are to be, of who lives in us, who is our Lord, who is our God, and who we follow. So when we go through difficulty, when we go through hardship, when we go through sickness, when we go through wrestling, so, I mean, it's easy to believe when all things are beautiful, right? Oh my gosh, easy. Isn't God good, right? Amen. Things are good. You know, the kids are behaving. There's money in the bank and jobs wonderful. My health is great. It's easy to believe that way. But who we are when there's difficulty in our lives is the struggle. That becomes our witness. Who we are with each other becomes our witness to the world. So Paul writes this, how we are to be. Not only with each other, but how we are to be in the world. And what he writes is that in verses 3 through 5, he writes, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves." And what that means is that you look out to their interests. That's what that means. "Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others." And then Paul says this, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ." Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, Paul tells us. He writes this. He lets us know what Jesus did, what was his mind. "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, being taken the form of a slave, being born of human likeness, being found in human form, and humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross." So what that means is that Jesus did not exploit his power. Don't you know that on the way to the cross, while he was going, being nailed to the cross, that all the power that he had when he walked on water and fed the 5,000, that he could have mustered all that power to overcome his enemies. Don't you know he could? But he did not exploit the power that he had. God has given us power. God has given us gifts and graces. God has given us wisdom to be able to do phenomenal things in this world. But we don't exploit that for our own benefit to overcome other people. We don't exploit others. The other thing that Jesus did is that he humbled himself. Again, he humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. And we serve one another, right? I'm your pastor, I'm also your servant. And I serve you. What's important to you is important to me. And I've come to know that the beauty and the health of this church is what's important to each other is important. What's important to you is important to the other. That's a beautiful thing. The other thing is that Jesus became obedient. And so, as Jesus was obedient, so are we to be obedient. And what that means is that we are to trust in the Lord our God, to become obedient to the Word of God, to become obedient to the Word of God. Some time ago, there were bracelets and bumper stickers that said WWJD. What would Jesus do, right? Well, this tells us right here. What would Jesus do? It tells us right here. He did not exploit. He humbled himself, and he became obedient. Those three things. Jesus did those three things, and so are we. And when we do those things, Paul tells us that we shine like the stars in the world. We sparkle in the midst of the darkness. We sparkle in the midst of this world. When I first met the leadership of this church, I asked the question, "What is it that you want me to do first?" Right? You have to tell me exactly what you want. I missed mind reading in seminary that day, and so I don't get that. But you have to tell me a lot of what your expectations are, right? You have to tell me what those are, right? Because the culture of a church is different. And so what I did was what I was told is that I was to go around the square around the community and introduce myself. So I've been doing that, right? I've been going around. Most obvious places are the restaurants. Okay, right, that's good, you know. So I've yet to go to law enforcement, and I do want to go meet them. The thrift store, they know me well. Dog bowls, don't know where they are, but I needed dog bowls to feed Buddy and to give him water and that sort of thing. And I could not find the sheets to the bed, right? So I know they have some, and I just needed some for to carry me over until I found that box. So every time I open a box, it's like Christmas, you know. Wow, what could this be? So I went out there, and I've been introducing myself, and it's been a lot of fun. Last Friday, I went to Keller's for supper. Keller store. Biscuits and bullets, guns and grub. Got it, right? So, and they have this one long table to go eat, right? This one long table to go eat. And I got to meet a lot of the local flavor, I'm here to tell you, right? I met a lot of the local flavor here in Mason, Texas. And it was a lot of fun. You know, it was big fun. And Crockett and I are now fast friends, okay? And so... he's Catholic, but I told him we were holding a special this year for Methodist and for people to join the Methodist Church, and so I'm working on him. But sitting in that long table and being around people that I don't know reminds me of a metaphor of the afterlife, and it goes like this. In hell, there is this long table, like Keller's, but much longer. Much longer. And on this table is the best foods we can possibly imagine. The best. Imagine your favorite foods. Imagine your favorite salad. Imagine your favorite drink. Imagine your favorite desserts. Just imagine them on that table. And there are chairs for people to sit at that table. And at the table are forks that are longer than your arms. So you can't feed yourself. And in hell, everybody is severely emaciated and starving. Heaven has that same long table. Those same favorite foods. The same long forks. The difference is that in heaven, everybody's well fed. You know why? They're feeding each other. They're feeding each other. You know, I like to try some of that roast beef over there. Sure. Lemon meringue pie. Sure. Shrimp cocktail. You betcha. Humbling ourselves. Not exploiting our power. And becoming obedient. That the interest of others in this world matter to us as well. It's what we're called to do. That is the mind of Christ. That is the heart of Christ. And I leave you with this thought. You'll hear me refer it often, and it is this. Love is not an adjective. If it was an adjective, it'd be all about good feelings, right? All about good feelings. But love is a verb. It's not about how you feel, but about what you do. And having the mind of Christ is what we do for each other. May it be so this week. In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.